I have the privilege and honor to introduce Mr. Mike Dittman, and he is going to be sharing a message with us this morning. You might recall he was here a few months ago, and he has been mentoring Pastor Josh and the leadership team, and we're just so grateful for his heart and that he has taken the time and to come here and mentor us as a leadership team. Did I mention he is the director of national ministries as a part of the United Brethren Church? So that's the church that we are. We're a United Brethren Church. So he has a lot of skill and experience in shepherding people and churches. And we had a meeting yesterday that was just a very impactful time for all of us involved, and he has a way to cut to your heart, and we just really appreciate that as a leadership team, and we're just excited to see where we continue to go and grow together as a church. So again, it's Pastor Mike Dittman, and he will be sharing with us in just a moment, but he has asked me to read a portion of a book, The Pietist Option. And so we read this yesterday, and I guess I did an okay job, so he asked me to do it again, and I'm going to try not to pass out. So, okay. This is the introduction. It's called Come Back to Jesus. After a long day attending a Christian conference full of lively worship, big-name speakers, and a multitude of workshops, I, Mark, was exhausted. I'd been taking notes all day long, 5 steps to this, 10 to that, how to pastor, lead, worship, teach, strategize, evangelize. Whatever it is you want to do with these few steps, you can do it better. And Lord knows there are plenty of things I'd like to improve on. I took copious notes. Late that night, after I'd been asleep for several hours, I had a dream in which I looked up and heard God speaking to me. Mark, God called. Yes, Lord, I answered. Do you want to know the steps to a vital life and a vital church? Yes, Lord, yes, I exclaimed. And in my dream, I grabbed the notebook I'd been carrying around all day, took out a pencil, and wrote, Steps to a vital life and a vital church, at the top of a blank page, and then a number 1, just under the heading. I looked up with anticipation. Come back to Jesus, God said. Come back to Jesus, I wrote. Then, penciling in a number 2 on the line below, I looked up again to hear the next step. And I woke up. No, I exclaimed to myself and to God. Please, Lord, what is number 2 and 3 and 4? What are the rest of the steps? But there was no answer. No way to get back into the dream. No way to go back to sleep for quite a while. Come back to Jesus was all I heard. After getting up, I spent the day at the conference attending yet more seminars, but my head and my heart were elsewhere, thinking, praying, and wondering about the dream. It wasn't until later, as I listened to the evening concert, that it struck me. There is no step 2 or 3 or 4. Just this one, always this one. Come back to Jesus.
Thanks, Molly. Amen? Remember last time I was here, I told you when I was 16, I walked through some doors like this, never been in a church, didn't want to be religious. Did not like Christianity, at least the forms that I had seen around me. Jesus captured me that day. I didn't know that God had a face. I thought there was a God. But when I realized that God was Jesus, I remember sitting back there, 16 years old, I was captured by Jesus. I was turned off to religion. I was captured by Jesus. I remember over the next several years just learning what it meant to walk with this Jesus, learn how to pray and study the Bible, and then eventually my Christian life became very complicated. And then I went into the ministry and it became very complicated because then I was trying to do everything except Jesus. The bishop of the United Brethren, Todd Fetters, and myself simply want our churches to come back to Jesus. Amen. The book that was just read really is our roots. It's called The Pietist Option. It really is the roots as to where the United Brethren came from. We're just a bunch of people that got together and said, you know, let's just love Jesus with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Do you think it could be that simple? Can it be that simple? Some of you guys, your lives are so complicated, aren't they? My life is very complicated. It doesn't take much to make our lives complicated with work and kids and just the life, right? Why do we need to make Jesus complicated? I used to think, I remember I was raising my kids. In fact, I still have one more at home. He's a freshman in high school. So I have 5 grandkids, 3 grown kids, 1 that's still trying to figure out how to grow up. Awesome kid. And I'm thinking, how do I teach my kids? I remember thinking, how do I teach my kids how to walk with Jesus? And I remember turning to this verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, where it says, those who claim to know him must walk as Jesus walked. And I thought, how in the world do you walk as Jesus walked? You can't walk it. I can't raise the dead. I can't turn all these loaves into many loaves. I wonder what this means. It can't mean that I'm supposed to be God. But there must be a way that I can walk the way Jesus walked. And I think that's what Christians in the early church, you know, the word Christians came out of little Christ. It was people that walked like Jesus. So today I want to not only talk to you, but I want to train you in how to walk with Jesus. Now you're all saying, train us? You're supposed to be the preacher, dude. Okay? Most people come to church and they expect to hear some nice worship and a nice sermon and go home. And can I tell you something? We want you to know how to do this at home. Sometimes we can't even worship unless we come to somebody else that's worshiping for us, right? Sometimes we can't get into the scriptures unless someone else is getting into them for us. So what I want to do today, you can consider this Mike's gymnasium, okay, for the morning. Because when you come to church, we're supposed to come to be to encourage one another and to be equipped. Did you know that? Did you know that my job as a pastor is to equip you? Did you know that? You guys are really silent. Did you know that? If you didn't, you know it now, okay? I was a basketball coach before I had a brain hemorrhage and all kinds of crazy stuff happened in my life. For quite a season, I was a college basketball coach. And I knew, because I used to go out and just play with the players. I love playing. And the players love watching me play. And I could tell them a lot about the game. But you can't train people to play basketball by letting them watch me and hear a lecture from me. I got to go out and show them, have them pick up the ball and learn to practice. Did you know that's what church is supposed to be? Where you come and practice, where you learn, where you grow, so that you can go out there and play the game. Isn't that an interesting thought? That maybe church is more to equip you to go out there and walk with Jesus. I don't know if that's a new concept for you, but for some people, that's a new concept. So, welcome to Mike's Gym. Okay, this morning, I am going to coach you through a discipline on how to walk with Jesus. How's that? And you're thinking, how is he going to do that in just a few short minutes? Well, It's interesting because if you go back to the Gospels and you unpack this one verse and ask the question, well, how did Jesus live? How did he walk? If I'm supposed to walk like Jesus, live like Jesus, how did he? Well, let me tell you how he did it. First of all, he left all the things that were comfortable to him and that he enjoyed, and he came to this place called Earth, and he got into the trenches with people that really didn't like him. Although he created them, they didn't even like him. He thought, you know, if I'm going to reach people, my people, I got to go out there and be with them. Now, I'm going to come back to that later, because part of the discipline of the Christian life is we're called to go out and be in the world. Did you know that? Every part of cultural life we're supposed to invade with light. Did you know that's what Christians are supposed to be? Most of us know we come here to hide from the darkness. No, we're supposed to be out there being the light penetrating the darkness. Every once in a while, if you agree, you can say amen. If you don't, say get out, okay? I don't care. I love fighting with people too, so feel free to disagree with me. Except I will win because I'm right. No, not really. That's what I always tell my wife, but I never win. I can't figure that one out. So, Jesus came, and here's what he did. Real simple, he did three things. And these are the three things that I'm going to talk to you about how to walk with Jesus on. First thing he did was call a group of people to come and be with him. And he wanted to give them a new life. And so he taught them about this kingdom, new heart life in him. So he brought this average people and just said, come, follow me. And I'm going to teach you. Come be with me. And then, as he's teaching them and about this new life, and they're kind of scratching their head a lot, because he's not only teaching them, you know, the way Jesus taught was by showing them, which is kind of a nice parenting technique, if you ever thought about that at home. One of the best ways to teach is to model versus flap your jaws. And all the kids are going, yeah, Mom and Dad, are they even in here? So Jesus modeled the kingdom to his disciples. Then this is what he did, step two. He spent almost 3 years, and by the end of the 3 years, he turned and said, okay, you guys, I'm calling you to that new kind of life. But I'm also going to command you to love one another. Now, by the way, that wasn't a suggestion. He turns to his disciples and says, to be part of the kingdom, you guys here, who I have loved very well, you need to learn to love each other. I guarantee you they're going, are you serious? I don't like these guys. We love you, Jesus. We came to follow you. One of the challenges of being a small group leader is you're the only safe person usually at the beginning, until you teach everybody else how to be safe with each other. And that's what he's turning. He's turning to his disciples saying, now I want you guys to learn to love one another, because the kingdom, the life I'm giving you right now, is going to show up primarily in how you love each other. That's it. If you want to know what a believer is at core, it's going to be how you love each other. If you can't do that, leave. Whoa. Third thing Jesus told his disciples was, okay, you understand this new calling I'm giving you? You understand this new commandment? Okay, now I'm going to give you a new commission. Now I want you guys who are having a great time here with me, loving each other, I want you guys to get out there and go be with them. Where you came from, I want you to go back to there. I want you to go be my witnesses everywhere. I want you to be with them. Don't go out and call them to come to church. No, because church is to equip you to go out there. I think that's one thing that your leaders are learning, is the key to leading a church is not to get everybody out there into the well. It's to get the well, everybody here, out there. right? That's the whole point of it, right? Why did I have kids? I love kids. We've had a great time, but you have kids to unleash them, to grow them, so they, right? Some of you are going, I'm not sure about that one yet. Okay, hang in there. It's kind of hard to unleash these kids, isn't it? Kids. My kids aren't kids anymore. My teenagers are in between, you know, adult and childhood, and so I got to go back and forth depending on the minute. Some of you know what that means, right? So here's Jesus saying, okay, you guys, I know you're experiencing this life with me, and you like it. In fact, you left everything. You left everything to have that life. And by the way, that's point one of discipleship. You got to leave all your securities, all the things you find your identity in, all the things you find your significance in, anything that you define as life, you got to let go or you can't get Jesus. That's why Jesus came and said, hey, your career, your family, if those are number one, you can't have me. By the way, just go home and think on that for a while and it'll depress you. Because most of us, that's where we find our greatest joy and passion is in our careers or in our families. And Jesus says, you got to lay those here if you're going to have me. Then he says, I'm going to build a whole new family. I'm going to give you a new career. I'm going to give you a new family. The new family is going to be believers that love one another. It's going to be people you don't like to be with, and you're going to learn how to love them. And I'm going to give you a new calling, a new career. No matter what you're gifted at, no matter what you're skilled at in a worldly sense, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So wherever you're at, whatever job you have, you are going to be my missionaries. Did you know that you are his missionaries in here? One of the problems in the way we look at it is missionaries are those kind of weird people that really love Jesus and go somewhere else and we all kind of write them checks. Right? No, you're the missionaries. In the church I pastor in, everybody knows they are what we call a backyard missionary. That means wherever they live, work, and play, they're the ones that are representing Jesus. So that's the way Jesus lived. He said, now I want you to live like me. And he says, oh, by the way, you can't do that. You need to go to Jerusalem and you need to wait. Because unless you have the Holy Spirit, you can't live like me. Because they watched him day in and day out go and spend time with the Father. He always was getting away and praying, always. And so that baffled them. In fact, the only question they asked Jesus was, teach us to pray. Isn't that interesting? After watching Jesus for 3 years, do you know the question they asked Jesus? Jesus, teach us to pray. You know why they asked him that? Because they figured, that time with the Father, we see everything else he's doing, but it's in that time with the Father that somehow he gets his power, he gets something there. So they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. So what I want you guys to realize, the kingdom of God basically revolves around three dynamics. And by the way, we have a disciple-making community that meets in our home every week. And what we do with these guys every week is we just talk about, we have conversations about three things. I call it conversations, reflections, and intercession. We pray and talk about three things. That's it. And we're going to do that the rest of our life. Because there's only three things that matter in the kingdom. Don't make it complicated. Do you know what they are? Number one is our relationship with God. Heart. Just think of heart. Number two is, how do we love other people? How do we relate to other people? That's a big issue, isn't it? And number three, how do we deal with the temptations that we have that are all around us, the evil one bringing to us? And I want to show you this morning that Jesus gave us a prayer that most of us simply kind of quote every once in a while at special occasions. But it's the only prayer he gave us. Now think of this. God gave us one prayer and said, pray this. This is a pattern for... And the reason he gave us that prayer is because in that prayer is all the issues of the kingdom life that we need in our lives. In that prayer. That prayer represents, if you're taking notes, John 15. Read John 15. If you want to know 1 John Jesus teaches how he walked and how he wants his disciples to walk in John 15. He says, he starts out by saying, I want you to abide in me. Then he says, I want you to love one another. And then he says, now I want you to go be in the world, but not of it. Very simple, right? Very simple. The reason why I like the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to coach you through it this morning. I'm not going to teach it to you. By the way, if you want to hear some of my teachings, I taught on it for 7 weeks in our church. You can get on my website, Haven for the Heart. That's our ministry, Haven for the Heart. You can download the teaching podcast. I also have a 20-page, it's a prayer packet to help small groups and churches actually learn to walk with Jesus through the Lord's Prayer. So, we're going to do this morning, okay? Now we're going to turn this into a gymnasium. That's kind of like my locker room talk to the basketball players, right? I just had my locker room talk. Now I'm saying, okay, get your balls, tie your shoes up, we're going out on the floor. Okay, are you guys ready to play now? No, you're not, because that's not what you do in church. You sit and listen to preacher dudes, you hear the music, someone gives a prayer, you go. Right? Well, guess what? Welcome to a new kind of church. It's called the gymnasium church. You guys really need to lighten up. I'm used to people talking, laughing, talking. So whatever you want to do. You know, the hard with these lights, I can't see your eyes. So I'm figuring you're all with me. Okay? So all I can do is hear you. I kind of like nonverbal, but I can't see the nonverbal. So you'll have to give me a little verbal here. Okay, so I'm going to train you in three dynamics of how to pray so that every day from this point on, you can learn to walk with Jesus. And here's the key to walk with Jesus. You make your prayer your lifestyle. Okay? Prayer was never intended to be just kind of a solitary, I go and do that here for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, an hour. No, prayer is something you do without ceasing, Scripture says. So I'm going to talk to you about how Jesus, who would pray without ceasing, and the discipline I want you to do for the next month, every meal, take 5 minutes of every meal, take 3 minutes, but take some time at every meal, morning, noon, and night, or before you go to bed and you get up, whatever, three times a day. And I want you to pray through this Lord's Prayer, okay? The people in our church that have done this for the last year, their lives are transformed right now because they're actually walking with Jesus. Okay, let me tell you how the Lord's Prayer begins, though. It's like, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All that, when you go back to read, if you want to look in your Bible, it's in Luke chapter 11, if you want to follow along. The whole first part of the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer. It's a declaration of truth. And here's the point. Jesus says, before you pray, listen to me and surrender your heart to truth. Let me tell you why this is so important. Every day that I wake up, every day, the minute I wake up, I know I'm believing lies. I know that my old nature is saying, Mike, get up, be productive, do this. I start planning my day, right? And I'm feeling anxious, pressured, or whatever. Excited about various things, but I haven't put on the armor. I haven't said, okay, I'm ready to walk with you, Lord. I'm basically, most of us walk in the flesh. We just get up, get our coffee, get our donut, get whatever, right? Out the door. By the way, that's like walking out without clothes on. Think of that. Next time you do that, just think you are walking out naked. Anybody want to do that? Please don't say yes. So you got to clothe yourselves. So when you wake up, you got to realize this isn't a religion, it's a relationship. So you wake up and guess who's there? Guess who's there? Jesus. He never went anywhere. He didn't go to sleep. He's there. I remember when I was a sophomore in high school, after I became a Christian, I was getting ready for soccer practice. And I opened my locker, and it clicked on me, I can pray right now. Like, Jesus is here. I can talk to him anywhere. Then I went over and went to the bathroom. I thought, I can pray right here. Then I went in the shower. I thought, this is cool. Like, He's with me always. I can pray always. That was exciting to realize I got a friend that's always there. So you start by this declaration of truth. It's basically, let me summarize this first part of what I call the Lord's Prayer, kind of the preamble of the Lord's Prayer. It basically is this: God, thank you so much for being in charge of everything. Thanks for being like a father that like cares about me. Like you're so holy, you're out there. You're doing your will. I'm always wondering what you're doing. I'm freaking out. You're telling me just to settle down, I'm in charge. Okay, God, let me start here. Let me start by saying I need to settle down. Isn't that a great place to start? Any of you that know with kids, you heard about the timeout thing? Huh? More adults should have timeouts, right? Our kids should tell mom and dad, take a chill pill, 5 minutes, go back in the room, right? So we got to start by centering ourselves and saying, you know what? Before I was even here, God was there. Once I'm gone, he's still here. He's doing work. Are you serious? It's really not about me. There is somebody that's actually in charge. You know the lie that we all believe ever since we're a little kid? You're alone. It's up to you. Make it happen. Right? Guess what? The kingdom is, no, someone is there. Depend on him. That's the hardest thing to think about being a Christian, is to give up your independence. I think that's the hardest thing about being a Christian, is giving up your independence. Giving up your sense that I have got to be in control. How many of you are control freaks? How many of you, that's right, because it's very, very hard to give up control. And that's what it's starting at. And then after you do that, then the way you pray changes. And there's basically three prayer requests that we're going to pray through now. Okay? The first prayer is, he basically says, give us this day our daily bread. What that basically means is, Lord, I need you to sustain me for everything right now. God, I need you to give me all I need to handle everything that's going to come my way today. Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. Lord, I like the Philippians 4 one where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Today, Lord, give me the resources I need, the wisdom I need, the peace I need. Whatever I need, Lord, give me to be able to walk with you. Okay, that's petition one. Isn't that a cool petition? Petition one is basically talk to God about your heart. Lord, I'm struggling. I feel lonely. God, I can't believe I'm so addicted to that. I need to break that, Lord. Lord, I just feel angry. I feel worried all the time. Lord, I'm just 60 years old and I'm still immature. God, I need you, right? Isn't that a cool prayer request? By the way, that's what Jesus is saying. You want to follow him? You want to walk as Jesus walked? Do what he did. He got up long before dawn, went away and said, God, he said, Father, seriously, you gave me these 12? Really? And all these, I want to go back and be with you. And the Father's going, sorry, time's not, we got a mission. Okay, not my will, your will be done. Okay, let's settle it, Father. By the way, how do I please you today? Because there's going to be 15,000 people that are asking me to do this, 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 and this. I need to know which ones to say yes to and no to. Father says, okay, say yes to this person. Those 10 are going to hate you and be disappointed in you. Can you imagine that little quiet time he had with the Father? There's petition one. I want you to take right now some time, not verbally out loud, but I want you to pray your heart to Jesus. Say, Lord, I need you right now for this. Okay? I'm giving you 2 minutes right now, silence in here, to say, God, I know this isn't what I normally do in church. By the way, if you can't do this in church, right? Let's do whatever. By the way, whatever Bible study you have or people you're hanging, start doing this with them all the time. Freak them out. Okay? So right now, let's turn the gymnasium into a place where I'm telling you to go shoot free throws for 2 minutes with Jesus on one issue. God, I need you for this. Okay, go ahead, spend some time with Jesus. By the way, in my disciple-making community, which is our local church family, we'll pray this. We spend at least an hour praying every week. Okay? We take it serious. Okay? And we spend significant time saying, Jesus. And we talk to each other. When you're sitting there having lunch with one another, or you're in your Bible studies, or wherever you're out there, talk to each other about what's going on here. And pray about that. Can we talk? Can we take that to Jesus now? Like, do you think that's a good thing for Christians to do? Just say amen. Amen. There we go. Even if you don't believe it, say amen, and you'll start believing it. Okay. It's true, though. Freak out your kids and turn to them and pray with them. Turn to your spouse that you haven't talked in years about this and say, honey, can we pray about this? Wow. You want to see some renewal happen? Pray. The second prayer request, and this is really, really important because all of life comes down to one big issue, relationships. You blow it in relationships, you've blown it. No matter how successful you are at fishing, at cooking, at career, at right? All the money stuff in life, when it gets down to it, you blow it at relationships, you blow it. All of life comes down to that. The Christian life especially comes down to can you and do you love others? The reason you got to spend time with Jesus is because we don't. All you got to do is say, no, I don't. Mike, I don't love her. How many here love well? No, not many of us. I mean, to me, I only have to fight with things like selfishness and bitterness and anger. That's all I have to fight with. We all do, don't we? Do you know why Jesus, of all the things he could say about relationships and about the new commandment, in the Lord's Prayer he says one thing, forgive one another. It's all about one word. If the first petition's all about contentment, Lord, I'm going to be content with whatever you give me. The second petition is all about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Right now, I know all of you in here have somebody or maybe several people that you are at odds with, that you're feeling distant from, that you're making them pay, that you're hurting over, that you've been wounded by for a long time. Did you know that when you come together as a body of believers, if you have something against someone, you're supposed to drop your gift and go and take care of it? That's how serious it is in the kingdom. Forgiveness, I'll tell you right now, if you hold bitterness in your heart, it will show up physically. It will show up emotionally. It will destroy your other relationships. It is destructive. That's why Jesus said, my people have got to forgive. And how you forgive, the energy behind it is because I've forgiven you everything. You deserve way more than the people that you want to do in. I could have did you in. So what I want you to do right now is say, Lord, and really I wish, again, we had weeks on each of these. Contentment, forgiveness, the next one's going to be temptation. Can you think of life, anything in life, if you can get down contentment, forgiveness, and temptation, you got it nailed, right? Right now, I want you to take a few minutes and just start the process of, Lord, I simply need to confess to you that I'm feeling angry or bitter. I'm still making that person pay, or I've just kind of made them die. But Lord, I've got to forgive, and can you, over the next several weeks, take me on a process to actually forgive? Okay? So take a few minutes and ask the Lord to forgive you and to forgive them. Amen. You have got to be free. You can't live life with bitterness, resentment, anger. And you have to be free from needing things. That's why you need contentment. By the way, if you can be a person that has contentment, if you can be a person that has forgiveness, isn't that a display of the gospel? Who wouldn't want to be around those kind of people? Right? Here's the third part. Here's the third request. Lord, I know I don't want to go out and visit my neighbors. I know I want to stay away from those people. I know I want to just kind of touch sins, people's issues. I don't want to get involved. I don't really want to get involved. I don't really want to love the world in that way, Lord. I need you to keep me on mission, because right now what I want is a nice retirement, a good vacation. I want to sit back in this easy chair and eat a dilly bar, Lord. That's all I want. And the Lord's saying, I get that. That sounds good. But you need to stay on mission. So what this third request is, Lord, help me fight all the temptations that keep me from the Great Commission. That's what it is. Temptations, eating, shopping, busyness, selfishness. Boy, there's a lot of them. Okay, could I make the list longer? Lord, help me to fight those temptations so that I can stay on mission, be in the world but not of it. What an awesome petition, huh? Whatever it is that's your temptations right now that deadens your heart and derails your relationships and kind of keeps you on the bench and not in the game. Whatever those temptations are right now, talk to Jesus about them and ask him to come and help you with those. If you were in my gymnasium, which I call my church, every week we would increase the amount of time that you pray and wrestle with those three realities. Those are the three realities that govern the United Brethren. We're trying to have churches that are spiritually alive in Christ, relationally connected to one another, and missionally engaged in the world. That's the kind of churches we want. In order to have churches like that, we have to have people like that. In order to have people like that, you have to pray like this. Does it make sense? Is that a great challenge for the week? good, because you know what? We're not here to kind of sip coffee and prepare you for a cruise liner. We're here to prepare you to get on the battleship. That is what church is all about. We now need to go out into the world and walk with Jesus in places that are going to raise all kinds of temptations. It's going to require you to have forgiveness, and you're going to have to depend on him. Amen? Amen? Well, let's go do it together as brothers and sisters. Let me pray for you as the worship team comes. Father, thanks again for this church community. Bless them, encourage them. Help us to walk with you so that we can teach others out there to walk with you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.